We are into the 9 o'clock hour on Mad Radio Sports Radio 610. Momentarily, we'll be on with our friends in San Francisco, frenemies from 95.7 The Game in San Francisco on the eve of a pivotal game number 5.
We'll hear Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. This is a message to India and Pakistan, to North and South Korea, to Israel and Palestine. We can all get along in this world right now. We're hooking up with our friends in Houston. That's right, I said friends, not enemies. Mad Radio, Mike Meltzer, Seth Payne, Sports Radio 610 in Houston. They do a great job down there. They're joining Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. What's up, boys? Good morning. How are you?
I'm not trusting your kumbaya moment we just had there. tensions have escalated between Iran and the U.S. as of late. I'm cautiously excited to talk to you, Joe. We're doing well. We're excited about this evening.
This is what we call in poker a slow roll. I'm slow rolling you right now. I'm letting you think you're about to win the hand, and then I'm going to flop over the nut straight.
That's all right. There's one thing that I'm not as nervous about. It's that I don't fear Oracle Center Arena, whatever the hell you guys call it anymore.
Easy now.
I know because Clay
Nobody
Thompson,
fears it anymore.
Clay Thompson told me not to care about it anymore. And frankly, I don't fear Clay Thompson all that much either.
Yeah, you know that the clay can always flash in what we call a claymaker game. I can refer you to the OKC series from a few years ago. In such quarters as 37 versus Sacramento. So be careful what you try to slow play and wet blanketify from your little town in Houston there, gentlemen.
How's the fan base hanging on with this? You get down 2-0 in any series, in any sport, obviously there's going to be a little bit of concern. You came back, you held home court, and this was not, and we've said this before, all jokes aside, in the Clippers series, the mentality here was that the Warriors let it get away.
Yes.
My thought process in Game 3 and 4, Houston played very well. Houston played good basketball. What's the mindset going into Game 5 tonight?
Well, I'll tell you, just going back to that, I think what really, really helped the Rockets and hurt the Warriors were the three days in between Game 2 and Game 3, because we're all sitting here last Wednesday feeling like, oh my God, you had two close games at Oracle, and I think the Rockets should have won Game 1. That was the real missed opportunity. All of a sudden, you lose Game 2, Harden with the eye issue, but yeah, the 3 days, which almost like in a way made people forget about the situation that they were in. So Game 3 on Saturday, the crowd was into it, and I think people are now very optimistic in Houston because they feel, and I think this has been the case, they have been the tougher basketball team in the last two games.
They've certainly been more physical. We'll definitely give you that. It's Mike Meltzer and Seth Payne, Mad Radio, Sports Radio 610 in Houston, joining Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. How do you see the officiating happening tonight? There was a mindset that Houston was getting away with a little bit more in Game 4. They let them play more physical. That's certainly an advantage to the Rockets. Do you see that continuing as the series shifts back to Oakland?
I think so far it's been pretty even ever since Game 1, and I think everybody's pretty grateful for it. The two-minute report has been pretty favorable to the Rockets in games 3 and 4, and I'm guessing you guys have talked about that a lot more than we have here.
We don't cry about officiating.
It's a Texas thing. The technical city out there.
I don't think
the officiating is going to be as much of an issue. We felt it kind of creep back into it. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, whether it's James Harden laying motionless on the floor or Draymond Green laying motionless on the floor for broad stretches of time while the game's still going on, I'd like to see a little bit less of that. but that's where both these teams are masterful at the finer aspects of the game. I think the biggest concern for me is, can the Rockets continue to defend the three-point shot as well as they have?
The big question I have is, can Chris Paul continue to snipe Warriors from the back on free throw attempts? Does he have a future as a kickboxer or an MMA fighter, guys, with all his dirty plays?
Chris Paul is simply a very hard competitor. But I'll tell you what bothers me, and I want to genuinely get your guys' take on this. So I have nothing against Steve Kerr, but I'll admit, like, James Harden's a flopper, and the Rockets are complainers too, and they're whiners, but so are the Warriors. This is a series where both teams are whining and bitching and complaining. That is even on both sides. The Steve Kerr, Eddie Haskell routine really bothers me. And I don't like people writing things last week in The Athletic about how, Steph Curry never complains about the officials.
Yeah, Steph Curry would never do such a thing or call the officials like the MVP or anything like that.
Bite your tongue, Seth.
Yeah, gentlemen, he's offering constructive criticism. That's all he's doing out of the kindness of his heart, guys.
Hey, you guys don't escape scrutiny here. Can somebody in that city give Ayesha Curry a little bit of attention? Can somebody?
Oh, geez.
Here we go. Over the course of the last decade?
Today's the first low blow.
How long have you been waiting to unload that one?
Hey, guys, is it safe to say tonight the winner of this game tonight wins that series, in your opinion?
I think that's safe to say. And I think the Rockets are actually going to win this game tonight. And I'm not usually this optimistic, but I say they will. I say this is the end of the dynasty. And I also tell you this, and I don't know how you guys feel about it. To me, all the pressure tonight is on the Golden State Warriors because, all right, I know Oracle Arena is not Lambeau Field or Chicago Stadium at the Boston Garden, but there is a chance that tonight is the last game ever there. And the fact that it is game five, and if the Warriors lose, you got to come home, you got to go on the road to Houston for game six where the crowd will be completely on tilt. And to me, the pressure in this game tonight is all on Golden State. Do you guys agree or disagree?
It's a great point, but you have to remember the situation. For you guys in the Rockets, this is big business. This is something you've had circled on the calendar for quite some time. For the Warriors, this is just the next notch in the bedpost. You got to go back down 2-1 against Memphis in 2015, down 2-1 against Cleveland in the finals in 2015, down 3-1 to OKC in 2016. The Game 7, that didn't work out that year. Huh. Came back 17-1 in the playoffs. Last year, you guys with the 3-2 lead. Pressure is something, you know, it's usually followed by the word cooker. We use a pressure cooker. We have a nice meal. Lowe's very good at that sort of thing. The pressure, though, I don't think they're feeling a ton of it. The angle on it possibly being the last game ever at Oracle, that's what gets dangerous, whether or not the crowd shows up tonight. Dibs has talked about this time and time again. The Oracle crowd before all this started versus where we're at now, very, very different. Two different things.
But, Joe, is there a fear that if the Warriors lose this game tonight, they lose game six, that even with those three guys coming back, assuming Durant leaves and goes to the Knicks, is there a fear that the Warriors will not win a championship again with this crew?
I don't know if it's a fear. Yeah, an idea that maybe it becomes a reality, but ultimately in the Bay Area, you take a broader look and you see you got a game seven tonight in hockey. You had a no-hitter last night. If you're in Houston, it's win or what? Hope for the Texans?
Well, yeah, we have a World Series champion from a couple of years back.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. A plucky little team.
Yeah, you know, three and five years here.
By the way, you're welcome for Mike Fiers. We just loaned him to you. That's his second no-hitter, by the way. He did it first. You're basically getting our sloppy seconds.
That's not too sloppy when you got Ramon Laureano snatching homers in deep left center. But.
Let me ask you guys this, though, too, because I do. This is how I feel. After Kevin Durant leaves, and kudos to the fan in Houston the other night who kept cheering New York Knicks, that was awesome. But is there, I think about what it must be like between like Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, and Andre Iguodala right now, and there's got to be kind of a feeling of, man, it's going to be nice when this is over and we can get back to like us playing our brand of basketball. Is there not that they're not thinking about this year, but it almost seems like I'm waiting for that. Like I want to get back to where it's not just a super team, that it's a homegrown group of really good basketball players.
But you guys got to realize Chris Paul's not homegrown. You guys got him there, and you got to realize also they've won before. You guys haven't won anything yet, and so when you think about it, you say, okay, if the Warriors don't win, is there pressure on them? No. If you guys don't win this year, it's over. Denver's getting better. You look around the East. This is it for the Rockets. The Rockets, you got to realize, it's a one guy who can score over 30 on a consistent basis. You guys have no one else to do that. We have two, three other guys that can do that.
Shouldn't you be ashamed of yourselves that this is the effort you're putting forth? You look at the Warriors' small lineup, and they're getting crushed. They're getting crushed by P.J. Tucker, by Eric Gordon, by all these guys. Like, you've got these all-stars out there and they're getting crushed by these relative nobodies.
Mike Meltzer, Seth Payne, Sports Radio 610 in Houston, joining Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Define crushed. And talking about Durant leaving, we've established this from the beginning. This town doesn't burn jerseys. We are not Cleveland. And we know you guys hold yourself in high regard as well. You don't burn jerseys down there. Guys like J.J. Watt, you raise money. You're good people. But waiting for Durant to leave is like waiting for Tom Brady to retire, right? We're all kind of stuck, if it's not our team, waiting out the best of the best.
But this is actually going to happen, though, unlike the Brady thing, which seems like, unfortunately for all of us, seems like it may never happen.
Right, it won't. Brady's unstoppable.
But this is what's so interesting to me, because honestly, I've been kind of shocked at the reaction that we get out of Golden State whenever somebody on the Rockets, like Daryl Morey or Clint Capela, who's been awful this series, But whenever somebody says, yeah, we want to beat the Warriors, people in the Bay Area act like, oh my gosh, can you believe that the Rockets actually want to beat the best team in the league? Well, yeah, like the Rockets are the one team in the West that said, we're not going to wait around for Kevin Durant to leave.
Yes.
We're going to go and we're going to attack right now. Like, and I love that about him. It might not work out. It might fail. But they've actually at least like given the Warriors a test. I feel like when I watch the Warriors out there, I feel like these last couple games, they look like they're enjoying the hell out of it because somebody's actually challenging them. Like,
oh, without question. Yeah. Without question. All the jokes aside, Houston has been a worthy adversary since the beginning. Since the beginning. I even pre-Durant, this is what, the fourth time in 5 years these two have gotten together. Last year, we all know how it ended. We can make our jokes, but it went seven. That was your NBA Finals last year, and no matter what happens in this series, this is still going to rate better and draw more attention than the winner getting whoever comes out of Portland, Denver. And that's not meant as disrespect, but how many people know on the East Coast one key player for the Nuggets? Like, you put those two teams together, people can name Dame Lillard, and then that's probably it. So this, again, yeah, kudos to Houston. A worthy punching bag, as I would say. A worthy sparring opponent. Well, it's Mike Meltzer, Seth Payne, Sports Radio 610 in Houston. They're great guys. Unfortunately, guys, we are all out of time. Congratulations on being exposed to a much bigger audience than normal. Hopefully this helps the ratings down in Houston.
Yeah.
We're happy to do some charity work. We'll catch up with you down the road.
It's a shame Nick Bosa isn't allowed to tweet out to a larger audience.
Good lines.
See you, boys. Take care.
Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game in San Francisco. I'll tell you the one thing I have the biggest issue with. This is my biggest takeaway. Listen, I'm 33, all right? And there is no team in my lifetime. You can go with the Patriots, the mid-90s Cowboys, whoever you want. No team has stacked the deck more in talent than this Golden State Warriors team. So I don't want to hear about how this is another notch on the bedpost. And Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green have three championships. Iguodala two. And Durant has two. So this would be another notch on the bedpost. No. When you sign Kevin Durant to a team that won 73 basketball games 3 years ago, you can't tell me it's a notch on the bedpost. They have to win every single year that Kevin Durant is on that team. Otherwise, they have been a miserable failure. That's how much they have stacked the deck against everybody else.
I don't think Lorenzo Neal understood the point I was making, because I was actually trying to be nice in that moment and say that there's a part of me that, like, I would feel like if I were a San Francisco or a Golden State fan, that I would want the old way. Like, it feels better. Like, the first championship feels better than the Durant championship.
Absolutely.
Because, like, okay, that's a real team. That's
There's
a homegrown
joy.
Team. Like, I was giving them a compliment and saying, that was a homegrown team. That wasn't a constructed super team. That was, like, as good a feel as you can have about your basketball team. Yeah, like, Chris Paul, we brought him in. Like, the Rockets are always shuffling their roster. That's one of the reasons maybe at times, like, the teams don't get as attached to them as they do. Like, but I wonder if in the locker room itself, those guys are sick of Kevin Durant. You know, to the point now where they're sick of Draymond because Draymond's sick of Kevin Durant.
Yep.
And there's got to be some part of them that just in the back of their minds is like, all right, what, you know what? Just let's, after this, you know what? 2 months from now, we don't have to deal with this crap anymore. We can go back to just playing our brand of basketball.